The theme for this year is called Rediscover Christmas. And it is especially hard, right, for me. I have two daughters for now. And the first one, the eldest one, is actually 3 years old. This is literally her first year celebrating Christmas. Because last year, you know, Christmas is a season where she just blurly go through. But this year, as she turned 3 years old, something changed. The first thing that she came to me is to sing Jingle Bell song during Christmas. Now, if you look at the lyrics, all right, yes, definitely, you know, when we talk about Christmas, there are many Christmas songs, and Jingle Bell appears to be one of them. But if you look at the lyrics carefully, it has no mention of why. Why? Why we celebrate Christmas, or why there is this bell jingling around. And of course, many of the songs, especially all this, right, you'll notice that it comes from the Western country where there's white Christmas. But, you know, if you look out here, it's quite a green one. So most of our influence on Christmas comes from the Western side of the sphere, of the earth. And it actually saddens me a bit because the first impression that my daughter gets about Christmas is Jingle Bell. But we thank God as we converse, as we talk to her, as we explain to her the meaning of Christmas, she now no longer sings Jingle Bells. She sings Happy Birthday, Jesus. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Lord Jesus. Happy birthday to you. And I think that is a good start. And in that sense, I think I have successfully brought her attention to Jingle Bells, from Jingle Bells, to wishing Jesus a happy birthday. That is the reason why we celebrate Christmas in the first place. Hi, Nicholas. Good to see you. Now, as we look into Christmas today, it is very, very, very easy for the world to hijack Christmas and the meaning of Christmas from us. It is so simple. When we talk about Christmas, especially when we have heard from Brother AJ, I will not repeat his sermon, you notice that it is so incredibly easy for us to get snatched away from the true meaning of Jesus. We can talk about the gingerbread, we can talk about the socks, we can talk about the snowman, not practically so here. But we have been missing the meaning of Christmas, and very easily so. So let me bring to your attention as we rediscover Christmas this season, this year. And as we rediscover the meaning of Christmas in a 1 week time, it will be the year 2025, and prayerfully as we understand the meaning of Christmas, it will help us to launch into 2025 with the right attitude, with the right focus, and with the right purpose. So let's turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7 this morning. Last year, I preached about Luke chapter 2, verses 8, all the way to 20, to talk about the angels, you know, bringing the good news to the shepherd. And today, we are going to look into what happened before that. All right, so let me read to you Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went out from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. Verse 5. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Many characters here. There is this census going on. Let's very quickly go through these powerful rulers mentioned here. Now, Caesar Augustus, all right, he was the emperor of the Empire Rome at that time. It's a very big area under his care, right? And this Quirinius, he was a governor of Syria, and at that time, Judea was under the province of Syria. So this governor gave us, right, the mention of his name gave us roughly the time of Jesus' birth, all right, as to when and all this. And one name that was a very important character, all right, that was not mentioned in this verse, I believe many of you have heard about him in the book of Matthew. Right, Matthew talks about this King Herod, Herod the Great, some of us know him as. You can see that he actually gone through two attempts to kill baby Jesus. So Jesus, you know, Christmas Day was not entirely peaceful, joyous. This morning I received news from my friend who is a pastor that his father, who is also a pastor, has gone home to be the Lord because of cancer. So for most of us, you know, when we talk about Christmas, it's celebration, it's a joyous time. But when we look into the lives in the, you know, baby Jesus, it was not exactly a time of celebration because Herod the Great actually attempted to get rid of him two times. This was recorded in Matthew chapter 2, verse 8. King Herod sent them to Bethlehem, the two wise men, and said, go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. And after that, you know, the three wise men came, and in a dream, the Lord said, you know, don't go back to King Herod. And in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Not exactly a peaceful period of time, not exactly a good news, especially for the mothers who have lost their boys because of this. Powerful people ruling the world, but we see that God's hand is in history itself. Even though we see that there is Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, Julius Caesar, King Solomon, Napoleon, all these, yes, truly they are the most powerful kings in the history of mankind, but we see that God has a hand in all this. I'm going to go to that in a while. So we have a census. To us Malaysian, it's like the Banci, Pendudo, and Perumahan Malaysia. Today it's very simple. You do not have to travel back to where you were born, to which house you belong to. All right? All you need to do is go online, click, 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 and everything will be available, and you know, the all these numbers will be available to them. But those days, the Rome, they have to take a census every 14 years for military and for tax purposes. And starting next year, you know, we will have e-invoicing by the government as well, and all this. Right? All this is to keep track of the military and also the tax that Rome is collecting from his people. Now, for every Jewish male, they have to return to the city of their fathers to record his name, to record the occupation, property, and family. So we thank God that we don't have to do this census, but what we can relate to is not so much of taking the census, but most probably, right, what I can think of that is very clearly related, as we try to relate to what happens during Jesus' time, is that are we rushing off for holidays? That we are having a jam, right, the legendary jam in the North-South Highway, especially, you know, Monday and Tuesday, yesterday, 2 days, the government announced that free toll. Everybody seems to gather their bags and just leave. Or it could be a voting season. Right, so when we vote, we have to go back to the place that we have registered for. So that is the nearest that I can think of when we talk about census. Right, so small towns during those times, fully packed, because everybody that lives in Jerusalem, outside of Bethlehem, they have to go back to their hometown, a small town. And so much was happening just yesterday. During Christmas time, there was so many things happening. So most of us here, I think we have already planned what we are going to do after service. Some of us, we may drop by to observe the water baptism, and then after that, go and have meal with our family members. It could be that. Or some of us has already promised our kids that we are going to send them over to Wan Yu, to the Curve, Mid Valley, all these big, big malls so that we can have a change of pace and that they can have spending some good time, quality time, shopping in the mall. But many fail to realize, as we read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, there was a change. There was a change of rule from the intended kingship in Judea. Judea was no longer ruled by one of its own princes. The promised land was no longer in the hands of Israel. The ruler was no longer appointed by God. The temple was no longer cared for. And the priests of God, they were no longer the ministers of God. Big issue. Nobody noticed. Big issue for the people of God. Everyone was occupied into going back, doing the census, so much so that baby Jesus did not have a place to stay. He has to be born in a lowly manger. And all this, whatever that's happening, right, Judea all the way to the priest of God, it was still under God's control because God has intervened through the Savior. And there are many verses here. I'm going to skip quite a fair bit. So if you would like to follow on, just take a photo of it. All right? So God has promised to us, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles, a Savior. And this Savior is specifically mentioned that he's going to be a human and not an angel. And these are some of the verses there that is mentioned. All right, let me bring to your attention Hebrews chapter 2, verses 16 to 17. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might take atonement for the sins of the people. He has to be born like you and me. That's why he has to be born 2,000 years ago as a normal birth through the Virgin Mary. And the second point is that a Jew, God has meant Jesus to be a Jew and not a Gentile. All right. So whoever bless you, I will bless them. And then whoever curse you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you, through Abraham later. All right. So this is where we can see that out of the Abrahamic line, right, Jesus is going to be born. Again, there are many, many other proof from the scripture that God has intervened to change the rulers back to the intended one, to our Lord Jesus Christ. And God intervened through the Savior from the tribe of Judah, from the family of David, and you will notice that both Joseph and Mary, they are from the line of David. Not only Joseph. All right? Not only Joseph. All right? So take a photo there. And he is from, he's to be born of a virgin. This is the famous verse that we can be reminded. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. And that sign is, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. And the last sign that this baby, this Savior, is to be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. This is taken from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. All right? That his origin are of from old, from ancient times. Now, for some of us, we may understand that Jesus Christ is a plan, maybe K. Plan A failed, plan B failed. Plan C, D, E, F, G, you know. All of this failed so much so that Jesus Christ ultimately had to come because no choice. But I want to bring to your attention that no, that was not the case. Even before the world was created, our God has decided that this is going to happen and this is what is going to be done. Even before the world has been created. God knows all. God has ordained it to be so. And God has made it clear there is no way for us to come back to him except this one special way. So even though Augustus Caesar was ruling, but God was in charge. Because ultimately, God was the one. From the beginning, since the beginning, even before the beginning, He has ordained it so that Jesus has to be born and Jesus has to die for all of our sin. And you notice that, you know, even though Joseph, Mary, they were in Nazareth, but God has used Caesar's edict to move both of them 80 miles from Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem. And we are going to see very quickly how does both Joseph and Mary responded to God. Right? So Mary, on the first place, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered, "may your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. So the occasion was that, you know, the angel announced to Mary that you are a virgin, that you are to be giving birth, all right, to the Son of God. And then this was Mary's response. Now, for, you know, the guy, right, Joseph, it's a little bit harder. It's a little bit harder because Joseph found out that she was pregnant, right, even before getting married. And he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said that, you know, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. She will give birth to a son. You are doing to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from his sin. The baby is conceived from the Holy Spirit," and all this. And as a response of that, in verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate the wedding, the marriage, right, until she gave birth to a son, and Joseph gave him the name Jesus. Right, so this is the background of what was happening. A lot of things happening, a lot of movement within the nations, but many have forgotten about what has been lost and what God has done to restore what is lost. So reflection point number one, how are we treating Christ in this Christmas season? How are we treating Christ? Do we still treat Him as the reason? Yes. The reason why we celebrate Christmas. But sometimes we have forgotten that the reason why He came in the first place is to die. Do we have any friend, singular, I would say, do we have any friend who would die for us? We have a God who took the trouble to be born as a baby, very vulnerable, two attempts on his life. The family has to flee to Egypt. He has gone through all this. So that ultimately, today, as we celebrate Christmas, we do not only remember that it is a joyous occasion, but we also remember that Jesus Christ came so that He can die for you and for me. That was His sole purpose here. And we often forget the conditions to which Jesus was born into: a smelly manger. He was born into poverty, no money, cannot find an inn, cannot pay more to get the proper room. He was born in darkness, in loneliness, surrounded by animals. He was born in humiliation. Who would have born in a manger today? In our Chinese culture, the most basic one that we can afford is, you know, perhaps in a hospital, government hospital, or perhaps some of us may go back to having giving birth at home. Home. Jesus was born in such a humble situation. So how do we respond to Jesus, a Savior born to die for us? There are a few ways as we close. If Jesus is our King, definitely He expects us to be loyal to Him. And to be loyal to Him means that we are to be loyal to Him more than any other human being. So some of you may say, "Oi, how about our family and friends?" God, yes, God did ask us to be loyal to them, but when the time comes, side by side, our loyalty should be for Jesus Christ first,
than to our family and friends. That is the meaning of being loyal to Jesus Christ. And of course, after a while, you notice that we are called to be loyal to Him, not only by putting Him first, but also to be good stewards of our possession. What God has been blessing us with, we are to use it for His glory and for His purpose. And this is among the few things that will challenge us. That will challenge us. Money, material things. Is money, is our possessions competing our loyalty to Jesus today? Are we putting money first? Are we building up our bank account, accumulating all the latest gadgets, toys, that we are not really following Jesus? And secondly, if Jesus is our King, He expects us to submit to Him and to His authority. So in a way, if Jesus is my King, that means that I cannot be king. Most of us want to be a captain of our own ship. We want to steer our own life. We only want to contribute the 1.5 hours on Sunday, an occasional prayer meeting, and the connect group time, and the service time for Him to the Lord. Outside of this very specific time, Lord, all these are my time. All these are my money. All these are my possession. Lord, You have no say on that. So if we are taking Jesus seriously and truly, if Jesus is our King, He expects us to submit to Him and to His authority. And for some of us, it includes our emotion. Right? To be Christian, it means to be under a new management. Christ's management. So if I'm in charge, I don't want to always forgive those who hurt me. My natural response is that I want to pay them back most of the time. But when Jesus is in charge, I can't do that. I have to be willing to forgive them and to accept them and be committed not to get back at them. If I'm in charge, my tendency is to have some gossip here and there once in a while. And I'm thinking that it is acceptable. But if God is in charge, if Jesus is in charge, all this gossiping has no place in my life. And if I'm in charge, most of the time, what I decide, I decide. I can do whatever I want as long as it is my choice in a way. But when Jesus is in charge, we ought to put Him first, put others first, and then only our turn. Things can be very, very different because Jesus is in charge. So as a conclusion, there are only two sides of Christmas. One side is that a Savior is born who saves His people from the sin of the world. And the other side is that we have accepted Jesus Christ as King and that He has come and we are willing to submit to His rule. So the question for us today is that have we received this greatest gift to be put under the lordship and kingship of Jesus Christ and to submit to Him and His rule? Because remember, brothers and sisters, this is the God who created the heavens and the earth. This is the God who has come and redeemed us of our sin issue. So is it possible for us to put all these things down and focus on Jesus Christ today? Have you received that gift? It is never too late to believe in Jesus Christ, and it is never too late for brothers and sisters in Christ to start again. If we have drifted away from the Lord, if we have drifted away from the message of God and the true meaning of Christmas, it is not too late because our God is a God of second chance. Start today. And for some of us, a change of our heart means that we were given a second chance at life. So if we declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. And many of us here have made the decision before this. So may I invite us to bow our heads, to spend a little bit of time as we respond to Jesus. Are we like King Herod, who are persecuting Jesus, who wants to get rid of him out of our life? Are we like the rulers, the powerful rulers of this world, that everything that we do is me, my, and myself, and I have given my portion to God, and my own portion, God, you don't have any say on it? Or are we like the true believers of Jesus Christ, that we submit to his kingship, that we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God? Who are we today? Prayerfully, none of us here are like King Herod, where we are not willing to have Jesus over to be the king of our life. And prayerfully, some of us, we may have turned to ourselves to be the ruler of our life. We ask that you have made the decision right now to pass back the kingship, the lordship to Jesus Christ as he rightly belongs. So the first response that I want to call out to you is, if any of us for the past year we have gone away from the Lord, we are a Christian, yes, but because of the things of life, Lord, you know, all this has swallowed us up, that we no longer have time for Jesus. And we want to thank you, because this is a time where our brothers and sisters can repent and can come back to God. So if there's any one of you here that wants to repent and say that, God, I want to put you first again in my life, starting right now, with your heads bowed, with your eyes closed, may I just ask that you raise up your hand so that we can pray for you. If you think that you have been going back against God, yes, I see, thank you. If you think that you have been going back against God for the past year, and now is the time that you want to come back to God, you want to be serious in this relationship with God, please raise up your hand so that we can pray for you, that this is the second chance for some of us. Yes, I see you. And the next reflection that I want to address is for those who have yet to know that Jesus Christ is our King. It is never too late, yes, but why wait? Would you consider Jesus this Christmas and receive him, his birth, his gift of salvation on the cross, as he died, buried, and was resurrected, victorious? If you would like to ask Jesus into your heart this morning, may I invite you to raise up your hand as well. We can pray for you. Yes, I see you. Thank you. Any more? Yes, I see you. Thank you. Any more who would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Let us pray together. Father in heaven, you know our hearts. You have been knocking at some of our hearts, waiting for us to open up our hearts to receive you back into our hearts, to retrieve the kingship and lordship of our life. Lord, you have seen the hands that was raised to you just now. And for the fellow brothers and sisters who have raised up their hand, Lord, we pray together as a church. And that, Lord, you listen to our prayer, that you will welcome them into your midst once again, that they have chosen to repent, and they have chosen once again to commit to put you first in their life. Lord, we know that this is going to be challenging, Because the evil one will not just let all of us go. We know that it's going to be a struggle, but Lord, we ask that you grant us the strength. Just as how you have granted both Joseph and Mary to run from King Herod. We ask that you help us to run away from things that may entice us, they may hinder our worship to you. Lord, we know that this is a good time for us to come back to you. So Lord, we uphold, especially those who have made the decision by raising up their hands to come back to you. We pray that you will strengthen them, you will grant them wisdom, you will remind them of the true meaning of Christmas this morning. And Lord, we also acknowledge those who have raised up their hands, who wants to accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, this is a journey, once again, a journey of faith. And we want to pray especially for the brothers and sisters who have raised up your hand. And we pray that, Lord, you will help them. You will grant them this salvation as they believe in you, as they proclaim that you are the risen Lord who has died for their sins. And that they will turn their lordship to you, that you, Jesus, will be the Lord of their life, just as how you have been the Lord of our life. So for the many who have raised up their hand, Lord, we pray for courage to speak to us, to speak to the church, so that, Lord, we can help them to grow together, to be a mature Christian, and to be bringing glory to your name. So, Lord, we want to thank you for the many decisions that have been made today. We pray that, Lord, you will sustain us through in our journey of faith until we see you face to face. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.